So now a good morning to all of you and a good morning to those of you who are joining us on the live stream and worshipping with us from your own homes. It's good to have you with us as we meet together and proclaim that indeed we are the church. And being the church, of course, and being Church of England, we have just a few notices. The first thing I need to say to you is that we have a new sound system, and obviously there's a limit to how much you can check a new system before you go live. So this is the first time the new system is live, and if the sound either in the church or on the live stream isn't quite what you thought it was going to be, we shall get it right. And we do want to thank Andy for all the enormously hard work that he has put in to install our new system. So that's the new sound system. Other notices coming up this week on Wednesday, we have the waiting room here. It doesn't give a time for it on the notice. I'm thinking 7 o'clock. I was going to guess that, but I've been told it is 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. Then next Saturday we have a ladies' breakfast. Notice that that's now in Wetherspoons, where the men have the men's breakfast. But ladies obviously can't get up as quickly because they're not starting their breakfast until 9 o'clock. Ooh, am I going to be in trouble? Or being naughty, sorry. Ladies' breakfast next Saturday, 9 o'clock, Wetherspoons. And then next Sunday, Churches Together annual unity service, 4 p.m. Malvern Baptist Church, and that will also include the commissioning of Denise Ditchburn as the CAP, Christians Against Poverty manager, as she takes over from Chris Mesley. Other things that are not on the slides, at the end of the service, there's a tradecraft stall at the back of church. Please support that. Some of you will know that Carol Wilson's mother died recently, and the funeral will be here on the 30th of January, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 2 o'clock, 30th of January. Other things at the back, but there's another Who's Coming to Lunch on the 5th of February, and the sign-up sheet is at the back of church for Who's Coming to Lunch. And also at the back of church, you will find that we have diocesan prayer diaries. Now, this does come with a bit of an apology, mostly from me, because it says that it's November to March. To be fair, it only started at the end of November. But yes, we should have had them here a long time ago. But please pick up a diocesan prayer diary on your way out. Here endeth the notices. If you want to know more, you can, of course, connect with us via the website. And we are the church, and today in particular, as the church, we are remembering that we are a family. We are God's family, His household. And if you have read your Psalms, when you get to Psalm 143, you read this. It's actually verse 8 of 143. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. A prayer for all of us. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And as we read those words for ourselves, we read them too for our families, our friends, and our church family. As ever, responsive things, yellow are for me and white, a response from all of us. So we pray together, Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us as we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by your mission of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we are one family, and Jesus is among us. So we'll stand for two songs, starting off, recognizing that as we are gathered, Jesus is here. Thank you. like to sit down. And of course, as God's family, recognizing that our Father is the risen one, the champion, and we can cry out to Jesus, you reign over all. And we know that we have fallen in so many ways as we reflect on how we have treated others, things we've done, things we've said, times we've failed. We can still come before our loving God and confess these things, knowing that he will indeed, because of Jesus, forgive us. So we confess together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Almighty God, you forgive all your children who are truly sorry. Have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our wrongdoings. Confirm and strengthen us as a loving family, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we're going to have our two readings, both quite brief, one from Romans and one from John, after which Jeff is going to come and speak to us.
As Peter has said, like last Sunday, we have two readings. The first one is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15. Paul writes, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and fill them full of love for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. She was only 3 months old when she was adopted. And she didn't find out until she was in her mid-20s. Her parents, her adoptive parents, had been very protective. They thought it would unsettle her to know, so they kept it a secret. They never told her. But then she did find out, almost by accident. And she was filled with a desire to find her birth mother. And she started to search. It took her 5 years. Because her birth mother was living abroad. But when she found her, she made contact and they arranged to meet. And it didn't take long for them to bond together. And everyone said how much alike they were, not only in looks, but in mannerisms as well, like mother, like daughter, as they say. And it changed her life. The impulse to discover our family origins is very strong in some people. Perhaps it makes them feel not so alone. Perhaps it helps them understand themselves. For most people, family, or the lack of it, has a big influence on our lives. In some cultures, of course, family is all important. You don't do anything unless the family says you can. In other cultures, it's very much a case of, well, you've got to grow up and fly the nest and grow as an independent individual. Now, I seem to have dropped the clicker and I can't see where it's gone, so forgive me. There it is. In our series on the church, we're looking at God's family, God's household, as it says in the New Testament. And it's very important for us because our identity as Christians and as human beings is tied up with our experience of God's family. Now, in the New Testament, there are 3 main pictures of the church. There are many pictures, but the 3 main ones are the church as family, the church as temple, and the church as body. It's a kind of trinity, if you like. Somebody once said, we're the family of God the Father, we're the body of Jesus his Son, and we're the temple or dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. Now, the idea of family as a model for our relationship with God and with one another can be very tricky. Because for some people, their experience of family life has not been good. Maybe they were abused, neglected, or maybe they came from a broken family. I remember a guy telling me once that he grew up hating his stepfather, who had treated him very cruelly and was impossible to please. So when he became a Christian, he found it really difficult
to think of God as a father. And it took him years for it to dawn on him that God was his father, very different from what his earthly father had been. Now, of course, we call God Father because Jesus Christ told us that his Father is our Father too. And that's a very, very familiar idea to us. It appears in lots of our songs. But when Jesus first said it, it came as a shock to people. Jewish people just did not refer to God as their Father. So when the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8 that we can cry, Abba, Father, that was a pretty revolutionary idea. Of course, we know the word Abba is a very personal way of talking about a father. It meant my own father. And strictly speaking, only Jesus Christ has the right to call God my own father. No Jew would ever call God Abba, because it would imply that you shared the nature of God, that you were a kind of on an equal footing with him. Because Jesus did that, the Jewish leaders plotted to kill him. As it says in John, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. And yet he didn't hesitate to say the Father and I are one. What is amazing is that he's given you and me to call God my own father too. When he taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, he meant, my Father is now your Father as well. He's our Father. Which means he looks upon us as his brothers and his sisters. We are sharing his unique relationship with God the Father. We are family. We bear the family likeness, as John says in one of his letters. Where his children, when Christ appears, will be like him in the sense that he is like the Son to the Father. So the church is the Father's family. He treats us as he treats his only son. We had a lovely Jamaican lady living in my last parish, and she came to church. Her name was Carmen. She had two or three children living with her, four or five grandchildren, several nephews and nieces. When you went to see her, you could never quite work out what the relationships were, but it was a very happy household. Carmen's door was always open. She'd always be in the kitchen cooking jerk chicken or curried goat. And when you went to visit her, she insisted that you had something to eat. And everybody called her mum or mummy. There were several neighbours who would wander in. They would call her mummy too. People who had no real family connections found a connection with Carmen. If you felt a bit down, all you had to do was go round to Carmen's. She would pick you up and you'd have a throat on fire after eating her jerk chicken, I can tell you. But it struck me, this was a model of what church is meant to be. Being God's children as the family of God together lays upon us all certain responsibilities. Paul talks a lot about this in 1 Timothy. You know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. In church, we may not be related by blood, but we are related to one another in a perhaps an even deeper way through Christ. Spiritual ties. Paul says, treat older members as mothers and fathers in church. Treat younger members as brothers and sisters. We're a family, he says. And he created that family. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross? and he saw his mother and John standing nearby. Woman, here's your son. And to John, here's your mother. He was kind of creating a new family. And Christians all over the world do this. It says the disciple took her into his home. You probably know the work of Open Doors, serving the persecuted church. Well, if you go on their website and you read some of the stories, you'll discover many Christians have lost homes, have lost family members, and are homeless, and other members of the church just take them in. They become family together, and we're encouraged to do the same sort of thing. This is how the family of God operates. We rally round when one of our brothers or sisters is in need. Of course, not everybody's had a good experience of family life, as I said before. I was talking to a lady once who said to me that her mother had treated her very unfairly. She had an older brother who was very brilliant. She wasn't particularly brilliant or academic, but Mum favoured the older brother over her. He got sent to university. She was sent out to work to support the family finances. When he came home, he had the best meals cooked for him. He was excused all the housework. She wasn't. And she grew up with such low self-esteem that it led to depression. And she said to me once, if ever I have a family of my own, I will treat my children very differently. If you've ever had a painful experience of family life, you of all people know what it should be like. And your best place to help the church be a loving family. We have a bond with one another that transcends, in many cases, our earthly bonds. God is in the work, said John Stott, of building a new society not based on natural kinship, but based on our union with Christ. Well, natural kinship ties can be very, very strong, but our bond in Christ is even stronger. Let me try and illustrate that as I draw to a close. I had an uncle who was really into family trees. And as he was drawing up his family tree, he discovered he had some second cousins living in South Shields near Newcastle. And he took it into his head to travel from Surrey, where he lived, up to Newcastle and across to South Shields. And he found them and he knocked on the door. They hadn't got a clue who he was. But when he showed them the family tree, they welcomed him in. They made him stay with them. They introduced him to other family members he didn't even know existed. Now, if that can be true through natural kinship, how much truer is it with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you ever had that experience of meeting up with a complete stranger and you get chatting and suddenly you think to yourself, I think they might be a Christian. You want to ask them. And when you do, and they are a Christian, you have this immediate rapport with them. We are family. I want to end with one of the most challenging verses about this that you'll find in the Bible. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If you want to know what that means, go home and spend the afternoon reading through 1 John, especially chapter 3. Let's bow our heads. If there's anything you've heard this morning that will stick with you, take hold of it now and make it your own. So we're going to sing again now. Where God's family meets, Jesus always stands among us. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing, Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives.
Would you like to sit or kneel for prayer as Paul comes and leads us? And I have to confess, Paul, that the response on the screen isn't the one you were expecting. I lied to you.
That's all right. I can cope with that. As Peter's just said, the words to respond to each prayer are on the screen. So I will say, Lord, hear us. And the response is, Lord, graciously hear us. So let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We ask you to hear our prayers today for the church, the world, our local community, and the people in our area of particular need. We pray for your church family around the world, and ask that it may be a beacon of light, spreading joy to those in need of love. We pray especially for those in our church family who work in hostile environments or are oppressed for their faith, but who nevertheless hold firm to your teaching to show love to others, even if they suffer as a consequence. We ask you to bless them and pour out your Holy Spirit on them and their families, and keep them safe. And we ask for your blessing on organisations such as Open Door, who support them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray for those in our church family who have a particular calling for pastoral care, and especially our clergy, retired clergy and lay ministers. You might think it's all part of their job to be the first port of call for those in trouble, but having a caring heart often brings a heavy emotional burden, that may go unseen to the rest of us. So, Lord God, we ask you to bless all those in our church family who provide pastoral support to others in need. Encourage them when the going gets tough. Give them respite when they need a break. But above all, let them know that they are doing as you taught us to do and that you hold them in your hands. Almighty God, help all of us to live as a loving, caring family. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We're also members of a world family where we know that we are some of the richest people on the planet. Yet there are times when it seems there is little we can do to help ease the needs of those less fortunate than ourselves. So Lord God, we ask that you will help us to be mindful of the impact of the way we live our lives, what it has, and the impact it has on the poorer people of the world. Are our clothes made by people who effectively work as slave labour? Does our desire to pay minimum prices for our food mean the farmers who produce it are paid a pittance? Does our desire to get a bargain mean we buy things that are made by people working in dangerous conditions with no health and safety protection? And does the way we live our lives damage the environment for others on the planet, both now and in the future? So we pray for those organisations such as Oxfam, Tearfund and Fair Trade, who seek to give us better options for living our lives and who seek to educate us on the consequences of our actions on our world family. Help us to learn how to be more responsible members of your world family. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And at home, despite frequent claims to seek to level up living conditions across the country, the numbers of people living in poverty in the UK is still shockingly high and getting worse. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation estimates that 1 in 5 of the UK population lives in poverty, and 1 in 3 children live in poverty in what is the 5th richest country in the world. We pray that the leaders of our country will deliver actions that match their words, that they will be intolerant of injustice, that they will be filled with compassion, that they will comprehend the parlous state of too many people in our country and be driven to eradicate poverty. And we ask you to help us play our part as a loving family to help those who are struggling. Bless all those who serve at the food bank and at the Octagon. And we ask you to bless Denise and Kat in Malvern Cap and all the befrienders that work with them as they seek to help people out of debt. And at a time when there is immense pressure on those in the caring professions, we ask you to bless all those who work in the health service and care agencies as they seek to ease the plight of those in need, despite a lack of resources and funding. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment, or for those recovering from treatment, and for any from our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley and Sheila up to you this morning, Lord. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us who are in need of your healing and love. Bless all who are anxious or distressed. comfort and relieve them in their need, and bring good out of their troubles. Gracious Lord, I've forgotten the responses. Hear us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Almighty God, strengthen your faith, strengthen our faith, so that your presence may be seen clearly in all that we do and say each day throughout the coming week. We say together, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If we are able, let's stand and, as the family, share the peace of God with one another. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one family. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common love for each other. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. We share the peace with those around us and those at home. We share the peace of the Lord with you too. This is exciting because I've got down here that we're going to sing Bind Us Together. And I can't see whether we've got a slide for it. It looks as though I've missed out putting that slide in. Do we know it well enough? We'll go for it anyway.
Do please be seated as we come to the Lord's table to share the family meal together. The Lord is here. lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself, and when we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Thank you.
as a family, we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So we come to our final hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Lord, we offer you these tokens of all the good things that you have given us. We offer you our lives and our time and our energies and our abilities. And we ask that all may be used to build your kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. So perhaps you'd like to hold out your hands to receive symbolically all that God is going to give us. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us. And remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. If there is something that's been on your mind as you came to church or been put in your mind during this service and you'd like further prayer, there will be people at the back only too willing to pray with you. There's also the fair trade stall at the back as well, and there's coffee at the front as we enjoy fellowship together.